and it reads, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of this household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone."
Amen. Amen. Being the head of the church, while the church is the body. That is to say that we are the body of Christ. Remember, the church is not a building. We are the people who worship God. The church is the people who worship God. The church is no longer it's not a building, just like here now. This is ordinary building, but we are the members of the church that worship God. At that Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 to 20, we have read, has already said that we are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, with Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Christ is the chief cornerstone. Christ is the head of the church, and Christ is the foundation of the church. Let us read Matthew chapter 16 verse 19 to 18, the second chapter 1 verse 28.
When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he had disciples saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some said John the Baptist, some said Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth, you will lose in heaven."
You see, this passage of the Bible made us to know that Christ built his church and built the father of the family. The family must bear his name. You see, we bear the names of what? The church, the Christ.
which is what? The Church of Christ. The family must hear that name. That is why we answer Church of Christ today. Someone may ask you, where do you derive that name? The answer is this, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Where he said that upon this order, that I will build my church. Who said that? It's Christ said that I will build my church. And that church is what? The Church of Christ. Also, I want us to read Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. Colossians.
Colossians 1, 18 to 19. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is again the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell.
You see, my brethren, Christ is the head of his church, and he himself is here to dwell. Let us also read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 27. I want us to understand something about the Church of Christ. We are not ordinary people. We are the prayer people. Let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27.
Now you are the body of Christ, member individually.
Yes, we brethren are what? Are the members in this church. And we are the members of Christ, and the members of God, the members of the Church of Christ in one body. So, we are one. So, brethren, I want us to talk about the blessing and the responsibilities of God's family. If you read Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17, say that. I want us to read that place.
Romans chapter 8, verse 14
to 17.
For as many as believe, led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but to receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness, with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the Son of God.
So, brethren, we are part of the family of God, and many blessings come from being God's family. Just as we have his blessing being for somebody that has a physical parents. We have a blessing, such as love and care of the parents, daily necessity of life, protection from dangers and problems, blessing of good name. These are the blessings we receive from our physical parents. When we are with them, there are some certain things they require from us, and we require from them. And these are the things we receive from them: the love and care, the good name, daily necessity of life and protection. Their blessing comes from having a physical family. Let us read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. There's a great blessing in having a physical family.
Ephesians chapter 6,
verse 1 to 3.
Verse 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, for that may be well with you, and you
You see, this is children obedient to their parents. That when a children obey his parents, he will live long. There's a blessing that comes from it. Because the Bible says that they will live long. Their days shall be long because of the obedience to his parents. If you read the First Timothy chapter 5 verse 8, that place is telling us about the provision that a responsible parent must provide for his family. If you are not responsible, you will not provide your family. And the Bible says that a person who is not be able to provide his family is an infidel. Let us read that First Timothy chapter 5 verse 8.
Verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
You see, this is a responsibility of the parents to their children. You must provide. You must care for their life, for their problems. Then another one is respect. Adult children are to provide for their own. Because when you are adult, when you become adult, you are no longer a dependent. You have to work for yourself and also to help. Maybe when your parents become age, it's no longer, you cannot be able to work again. There is your responsibility to do what? To assist him, to help him. Not that your parents will be taking care of you till immemorial. No, it's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that we should do what? And when we should do what? We should provide for that, for ourselves and also our parents. When we become adults, we find something to do. We find something to work. You see? And that shows respect. When you are doing so, you are respecting your parents. And you are respecting also yourself. Because people will not look at you as somebody that is lazy, as somebody that is not responsible. You have respect from people because of their dignity, because of how you work, how you strive to make life better for yourself. Then another one is training and admonition. This is the duty of every Christian to be them in the way of the Lord. If you read that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, I will read from 1 to 3. Verse 4, I say that we have to train them in the way of the Lord. We have to admonish them, that we are admonishing ourselves with the word of God. So this is the duty of a parent in our daily school. To do what? To bring the truth to them. To admonish them in the way of the Lord. Now, what is this blessing we are talking about? Blessing simply means a favor or gift bestowed by God. Thereby great happiness. It's a favor or a gift from God. And it brings happiness. The gift of God comes without sorrow. See? Anything that God gives you, you will not regret of it. So anything that God gives you remains forever. And nobody will take it away from you. Therefore, it is only God that gives blessing. And every blessing comes from God. Responsibility of God's family means those things that are expected of you as a child of God and a member of God's family. Family of God is when one accepts Jesus as their Savior and Lord. They become part of the family of God. If you read John chapter 1, verse 12 to 13, we say, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in him name, he gave the right to become the children of God. This is a wonderful passage for each and every one of us. That children of God are not born of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but one of God. You can see that it's only those who place their faith in Christ Jesus become Christian. They are the children of God and part of God's family. As such persons are saved. See, when you become a part of the family. We have not become a part of members of God and become saved. They are always saved as long as they remain in the body of Christ. We remain in the body of Christ. We are saved. But when we, from one church to another, from this church to another, looking all these prayer meetings, looking miracle center, you know, you are not saved. You'll be running up and down, up and down, up and down in Christ's court. The truth is that unbelievers are not part of the family of God because they have not placed their faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We know that resurrection of Christ is in the gospel. If anybody preach you about any other thing, about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is not the gospel of Christ. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. About the gospel of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through water baptism. His living energy is what? Through water baptism. The door is open for now for them to become the believers through 5 steps of salvation. We all know that we have 5 steps of salvation, and when we follow that 5 steps of salvation, we can become members of God's family. Becoming a member of God's family is a wonderful thing. There are nothing better than being in part of this God's family. This God's family is a wonderful thing. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing. The Christian is a part of God's family, like I said before. The Bible says in Romans chapter 18, verse 14, as many are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. Who are these children of God? It's those that walk after the Spirit, or after the Spirit, that are those who are obedient to God. If you are walking after the Spirit, you are obedient to the word of God. Those that are in the flesh and walk according to the flesh are under the condemnation. When we read Galatians 5:19-21, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the work of the flesh. So we need to study, we have to study the word of God. Let the word of God dwell with us in every day in our life. Because when you do it with every day in our life, I'm telling you, you will see the difference. As the children of God, we are the children of God by faith, having chosen to walk in the flesh and being obedient to His will. Being a child of God and walking in the faith bring great blessing to us. But being a child of God also carries a certain responsibility as well. Because you cannot only just be a child of God. You have responsibility, you have something. You involve yourself. You have to carry the responsibility. It's not easy to become a Christian. It's not easy to carry the word of God. We are not just Christians, because there are responsibility that we have to face in our struggle to heaven. Then how we consider both the blessing and responsibility of being a child of God? There are certainly many blessings of being a member of God's family. We have God as our Father. That is number one. God is our Father. Jesus demonstrated this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. When he asked his disciples how to pray, how they should pray. Let us read that verse, Matthew chapter
6 and 9. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you in it. And when you pray, do not use their repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for a father knows the things you are need of before he asks you. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
You see, brethren, when we think about the child of God, calling God his Father, we can say Abba Father. You see, this Abba Father is a personal address. When you want to address God personally, you can address him as what? Abba Father. You are addressing as Abba Father. It's a personal address. Christians are the children of God, who are separated from the world, led by the Spirit, who wear the greatest name, the name of Christ. The Bible says the disciples are to wear his name, according to Acts of Apostles chapter 11, verse 26. Where you must wear the name of Christ. According to the apostles, Christians, we are called first in an action. That is where when people saw them moving around, they asked, who are these people? They walk like Christ. They are moving like Christ. They do things like Christ. And we are called first called Christians. Wearing the name of Christ speak our salvation, and he tells that we belong to him. One must be baptized in his name in order to write through wear his name. Another blessing is that we enjoy the protection of God. As a child of God, we should not have to fear Satan or his evil work. We should not fear Satan, but we can. We should fear God. God is the only person we should fear. But human beings, we respect human beings. That is our civil responsibility. That we should respect our fellow man. But we cannot fear man. But rather, we fear God. God is the only one we fear. Because God made us to know that he is protecting us from all dangers of the world as his child. The Bible says, he has not given us the spirit of fear. To fear anybody. But when we have to be strong when the devil is coming, because he's looking after whom to destroy. So we have to be vigilant. So when you see the devil, we have to be vigilant. Because he may attack you, he may use all kinds of tricks to come. So we have to be what? To be vigilant. Even if we have to suffer, remember that we are still blessed. According to Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 12, let us pray. This is a wonderful passage. Like some people are suffering, is suffering in Christ to be a member of his Lord Church. But he promised us that there's a blessing awaiting for us. Let us read Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 12.
Let's pray. Blessed are those who persecute for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
We should not fear, we should not slumber. We should carry on, because there's promise awaiting for us that when we suffer in Christ, we are blessed. Christ gives assurance of the Father's watchful protection toward us. If you read Matthew chapter 10, verse 27 to 31, we are assured that he will protect us in any danger if we believe in him. If you do not believe in him, how can he do that in you? Because if you do not believe in him, but if you believe in him, if you have faith in him, he will protect you. This is the assurance Christ gave us. We receive the proper spiritual provision as Christ is the water of life and the bread of life. I want us to read this passage and note from there we see the encounter Christ had with the woman of Samaria. that about the water. The woman thought that the water is ordinary physical water, but it is not physical water. Christ is talking about the water of life. Let us read Matthew John chapter 4, verse 10 to 14. The book of John chapter 4, 10 to 14. I'm also read John chapter 6, verse 35.
10 to 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you know the gift of God, who is it who says to you, 'Give me a drink'? You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his son and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a foundation of water, springing up into everlasting life."
You see, Christ is the water of life, which is the word of God. When a Christian hear the word of hear the word of God, be in the Lord church, keep the commandment of God, the water here. The water here is the life. That person is not thirsty again. Because when you continue hearing the word of God, continue abiding the truth of the word of God, you are no longer thirsty. So therefore, we should be consistently need that water of life. We enjoy another one. I want us to read John chapter 6, verse 35.
35. "And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never hunger.'"
Yes, Christ is the bread of life. The bread he's talking about is not ordinary bread we eat in our various homes. It's the word of God. When you study the word of God, you will be motivated. You will not be hungry again. Because the word of God is food. It's our spiritual food. But from there, you know how you use yourself. Then another one is that we enjoy the promise of God. Those in the faith have been given great and precious promises. Promise of eternal life if we remain steadfast in Christ. If we remain steadfast in Christ, we are promised. God has promised that He will give us eternal life. Promise of answers to our prayer. God has promised us whatever thing we ask Him, He will answer through prayer. Read Psalm chapter, the book of Psalm, chapter 50, verse 15.
Psalm chapter 50, verse 15 reads, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me."
Yes, we should always call upon God in the days of our trouble. Okay? We should always call upon God in our days of trouble. We have these great promises. We also have the great blessing of being a family of God with all other Christians around us in the world. When you become a Christian, when you become part of the family, if you move around, there's a difference. Because wherever you go, you will experience that being in the part of God's family. Wherever you go in the world, there is the great blessing of being part of that family of God. I myself and my family experience this blessing. I don't know about you. If you experience this blessing, I'm not. This is not my local congregation. From Africa down here, but we are one family. I experience the blessing. God has been merciful in us. God answers our prayer. It's not by our might, but from God. So let us see the responsibility of being a child of God or family of God. Just as in the home, we have to have respect for one another. In the family of God, we must have respect for the authority of God. Christians have to respect God's authority. If we go to under the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to 4, God gave the children of Israel commands. That similar principle and commands to honor the authority of God are given to us as a Christian today. God alone is to be worshipped and served. That command now from the Old Testament is also applicable today. If you obey God that time, you should also obey God this time around. This time. See? If you obey God, Christ's teaching, we will also obey the God's teaching. Then Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Everything we do, we should learn it in his name. If you read Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. To do things in the name of God or in the name of Christ is by the authority of Christ. Everything we do in worship, we do it in life or in our various room, whatever we do. In our worship or in our various room, we should do it in the name of God. We should not do it contrary to the teaching of God or contrary to the teaching of Christ. Another responsibility of being a child of God is defending the cause of God. Christians must be set for the defense of the gospel. If you read through Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Ephesians chapter 10 to 17, we put all the whole armor of God. When we do what? When we defend the gospel of Christ, we have to preach the word of God. That is our responsibility. To preach the word of God to those that have not had the word of God before. So when we preach the word of God, then we know the word of God. And also, we have to put the whole armor of God when we are doing this work. Because to avoid the principle of the principle of avoid all principality of darkness. Because when you become a Christian, when you carry the gospel, you face many challenges. There will be many challenges that you will be facing. So we should do what we should put on the Lord and Lord of God. We have the responsibility to defend the gospel of Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, God is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. We should be bold to be associated with the face of Christ. Not whenever we mention anything about Christ, we associate ourselves. We have to work. We have to put our effort in the things of God. Also, God promised us for forgiveness of sin through water baptism. When we read the Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 38, I want us to read that passage. Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
Acts chapter 2, verse 38 reads, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
This is the command given by Christ that we should repent for forgiveness of sin. Now, to enjoy the great blessing of being in the family of God, one has to be adopted with the family. How is one adopted? One may ask. You must be adopted in the family. Then how will one be adopted? If you may ask, we have to look at some of those things, those that are led by the Spirit of God. They have received the Spirit of adoption. We are led by the Spirit of God when we obey the word of God, when we follow the teachings of Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. We keep the commandment of God, and that is how we should show our love to Christ. We can enjoy the great blessing, especially the blessing of eternal life as a child of God. But we have to do as God commands in order to be his child. We must hear the gospel of Christ, believe the gospel of Christ, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be baptized to wash away sins away. Then you are added to the body of the Church of Christ, the family and the house of God. This is the first step of baptism. According to our brother, we have to hear the gospel. When you hear the gospel, you confess that Jesus Christ, you believe the gospel, and you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you repent of your sin, and God will now add you to his church, the family of God, and the house of God. When we think of God as a father, he looked down on us in happiness when he sees us doing his commandment. When we are thinking about God, when God looks down to us and we see that God is happy because of what we are doing, then when he sees us doing his commandment, and God will be happy for us when he sees us doing his commandment. As we are here, God is looking at us. And when we are praising him, when we are worshiping him in spirit and in truth, God will be happy. And when we are doing all these things, we are keeping God's commandments. May each of us determine to be a responsible member of the family of God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. After this evening, if anyone has a prayer request, we will remain standing. All to God's unchanging hand. Thank you, Spirit, for your transition.